Well, Happy New Year to everyone. My gosh, 2023, inching towards death. No, I'm just kidding. Well, wait till you get to be my age. You know, somebody asked me, I think I might have asked this question. It's like, wait, you know, I was like walking around, you know, moaning a little bit. He goes, hey, man, what happened, man? I injured my shoulder, you know. He goes, how'd you injure your shoulders? Sleeping, you know. So I think I get injured sleeping now, you know. It's just something that's happening more and more. So, all right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this hope that we have as we look back and all the grace that has been given to us, God, amidst the toils and trials that so many of us faced. And God, you have been with us. You have not forsaken us. God, you have loved us. And we want to say thank you, God. Thank you that you are kind and that you are steadfast and that you're loyal and you're a very good father who takes care of your children and provides for us. And so thank you for the roof over our heads. Thank you for the food and the abundance of it that has been on our tables. God, thank you for the clothing. Thank you, God, for all the ways that you have covered our sins, our rebellions, our independent spirits. And most importantly, that you have overlooked our negligence, God, of you, of your word. But you're there, and you promise to be there, God, as we head into 2023. And God, in our prayer, God, for us, our loved ones, is that we would love you with all our hearts, and we would love others, God, our neighbors, especially our brothers and sisters, with the kind of love that you have shown us. So, Lord, as we look forward with such anticipation, it is our prayer that your word today would be effective and it would encourage us and renew us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Today, we're going to talk about hope and expectation. And in the Greek and in the Hebrew, it's, you know, it's not as clear in the sense, you know, there is expectation, there is hope. But the one thing that is clear to us, at least scripturally, is that God has expectations and we have expectation. God doesn't hope in the way that we hope, though, right? And we want to kind of parse through what that would mean for us and try to kind of at least biblically and practically parse out, you know, how to think about expectations and hope and practically take steps as we go forward into the new year. So let's talk about expectation, you know, for myself and others, you know, and even of God and how God does expectations. So expectation is desire and will. And in the Greek, it's synonymous. If you say will, it really means desire. And some places it says desire, some places it says will. So if the way we define will is more like choice, but that's not a biblical way of viewing will, because to make a choice that you don't desire is really an arbitrary choice. Arbitrary choice. So it's meaning you might as well be eeny, miny, moe. If I asked you, you know, do you want apples or oranges, and you don't want any of those fruits, you don't like apples, you don't, nor oranges, and you choose an apple, it would be an arbitrary choice. a meaningless choice. So clearly, in the choice is desire. And so, and if you say, well, it is the responsibility of man to choose God, well, you have to have a desire to choose God. You have to have a desire to want to. And herein lies the dilemma of faith. And so in many ways, we can't take credit for choices that we make. Well, that's just a choice. I'm like, well, I mean, unless you think choice that's made in a vacuum. Oh, but you made it. You chose the apple. No, I mean, there's a reason and a desire that comes with every choice. And I don't know if we think about that. And so what I mean, desire and will with direction, because a desire and will with choices, it has a direction. So let's talk about physics a little bit, okay? All right, force, an arrow, all right, whether in physics or in math. In math, we like to use the term vector. You know, it's a quantity that has a direction. An example of that in physics would be force. You know, force equals mass times acceleration. For those who, you know, a lot of more geeked out guys than I in this room. So if you have, let's say, a gun, and I have an apple, and you shoot the gun horizontally out that way, and you drop the apple at the same time you shot the gun, you know, what would hit the ground first? The apple or the bullet? You know? So for most people, or for some people who've taken physics, I've taken physics and I was like, oh, the apple hit the ground first, you know. But later on you find out, okay, if you shoot a gun horizontally, and you drop the apple at the same time, they would land at the same time. You know, the bullet would land further away, but it would still hit. And so if you shoot, you know, rifles and you shoot, you know, targets, you know, you either have to put a little arc on it if it's farther away, you know, it means you point a little up and you know. So, you know, being a sniper is a science, and I'm not here to talk about snipering. I'm not sure why I use that as an example. Bad word choice. All right, but the point is, it has a direction. And so how many of you this past year have been profoundly disappointed? Disappointed. And let's just think about that. Disappointments. You know, you don't know you have expectations until you face disappointments. It's true. Every one of us has or have expectations for our children. We do. And then there are disappointments. And some people encounter, you know, disappointments well, and some people, you know, don't. Learning to understand why that's so. Evolution does not explain expectation and disappointment. But everybody has expectations. That's why sometimes the holidays are so difficult. You know, and Christmas might not be the same for everybody. Even New Year's Eve, Ellen and I, probably the first time in our marriage, spent New Year's Eve together. And so we were just talking. You know, are you okay that it's just us? You know? I mean, we don't belong to like a friend group that does holiday evenings together. And now, is that an expectation that you have? That you have holiday buddies that you spend, you know, New Year's Eve with and, you know, and should that cause you disappointment? Were any of you disappointed because you didn't have a holiday buddy or buddies to spend that time? And maybe you do, so I don't know what you're talking about, Henry, because I have all my holiday buddies. We have expectations, right? And when you become a leader, and there are expectations people have of you. And you don't know that until they're what? Disappointed. Your children will probably be profoundly disappointed in you as parents. And I don't know if you can escape that. Because when they're young, you're like, oh my gosh, my father, my mother. You know, and then later on, it's like, oh my gosh, my father, my mother. You know, disappointment. But expectations have a direction. That means when you're disappointed, you have to ask yourself, where are you going with that? Where are you going with that? If you're disappointed in somebody, even with yourself, where are you going with that? But before you ask that question, where were you going with that? So your kid didn't get into this, or, you know, maybe things didn't happen, or maybe the child isn't turning out the way you think. Where are you going? Where were you going with that, by the way, that you're so disappointed? And everything has to do with the, because every one of those expectations, it's an arrow. You are going somewhere with that. And then disappointment is when that arrow becomes now a halted line. And it stopped. And it's like, wait a minute. And the question is, are you okay with that? What is your theology of disappointment? Are you okay that that arrow got stopped? Because it got stopped, right? You didn't live up to the expectation. The question is that okay? Many of you know my story, you know, my oldest daughter, you know, struggling in high school. All my life, you know, this is the way I thought. You know, I grew up, I was kind of a latchkey kid, you know, grew up in front of a TV, you know. I think my sister, maybe less so, she was more studious than I was, but for the most part, you know, my mom, she worked really hard, really hard. And, you know, their expectations, you know, and you kind of think about, you know, but when you're not that well off, or, you know, I mean, we don't have tutors, we didn't have sports programs, we didn't do any of that. And just so you'll know, it's okay if you don't do any of that. But here's what I thought as I saw when I got on the soccer team. You know, I found out that these kids have been going to soccer camps and clinics. I didn't even know they had clinics for soccer, and traveled overseas, you know, to get better and hone their skills. When I joined this tennis team, same thing. You know, these kids were playing in the country club since they were 4 years old. And you saw the disparity. And then I had a really good friend, and every summer he would go off to these academic camps. You know, and then later on, he would go up to, you know, and so I just felt like, oh, man, you know, maybe I'm missing out, you know, like, I don't have these, I don't even know about any of these things. And so you feel like you're missing out. And an expectation grows inside of us. And I think it was like probably, you know, I was walking one day and God asked me this very question, have I not been a perfect father to you? Have I not stopped you in your expectations? Is that not the very definition of a good father? That some of those arrows will be stopped and some will not. But is that not true parenting? That you are disappointed when those emotions, when your expectation is stopped, you will be disappointed. But how you think about disappointment is absolutely critical. If you think that stopping of your expectation is an unbearable plan that has no meaning, first of all, you would be wrong, because God is in the business of parenting, and parenting is fostering those desires and those arrows because it has a direction. And so in Proverbs 13:12, Scripture is now full of explaining how that goes. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. I mean, like when things go our way, right? Or sometimes maybe things aren't going the way that you want to go. Maybe your job, you know? Maybe it's not progressing the way you think it is or it should. Maybe your business is you know, not going the way it should be. Maybe you feel like compared to other people, you shouldn't be where you're at, and expectation grows. And it's making your heart sick. The question is, are you okay with that? Are you okay that a sovereign God who loves you, who gave his son for you, is directing your life? Or do you want to self-parent? Do you want to self-parent, or do you want God to parent you? Luke 22:41. Even Jesus, God's beloved son, says this. And Jesus withdrew from them, his disciples, about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing. Now that is a rhetorical question of direction. Remove this cup from me. What does that mean? If I don't have to go to the cross, God, if that vector could change so that I don't have to hang there to take your wrath and the sins of the world, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. See, there was something about, in the makeup of Jesus, his era wasn't so fixed. Right? He held that loose. Why? It was more like a compass, right? Than a rod, like a spear, right? It was like a compass. God, like, I want this to point to true north. And the question is your arrow like a compass? Here's how we deal with disappointment. We try not to expect anything. We don't want any arrows. We don't want to expect. Why? Because we don't want to be disappointed. No. That's not what Jesus is saying. He has arrows. We are created in the image of God, and we will have arrows. We will have vectors. But it's got to point to true north. John 4:34, Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. What Jesus is saying, God is not, his way is not only my direction, he is my direction. It's pointing to him and wherever he's going. That's the nice thing about the imagery. Right? Here's Jesus, here's God. Wherever you find yourself in all your disappointment about your parents, about your children, about your friendships, here's the wonderful good news. You don't have to live in the past. As that arrow is traveling, you are always welcomed and called upon to join him on his travel, on his journey. We don't have to try to, oh my gosh, it didn't work out for me. No, it's like, okay, you know what? Not God's will. And God hath, you know, because God turns all things. That's what we sang about. All things to the good of those who love him. Hebrews 10:5, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will. Oh God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. Jesus came headed in the direction that God set forth. The will of God is the direction. And Jesus says to his disciples, Mark 3:33, and he answered, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Who's my family? Who are my disciples? People who are joining me. That's why the early Christians, they were called the Way. They weren't called Christians. It was the Way. The Way. You know, the sign with an arrow? That was the Way. Like if we had, you know, a logo, it should probably have an arrow. It's the Way. And we think, we come to, many of us, see, and then as a body, as a church, we have a direction. We have a mission. It's called the Great Commission. We have a way. And God commands us, expressing His will, to be generous, to forgive, you know, to love, which is His greatest commandment. It's a direction. Luke 6:32, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Jesus is now making an argument for to change direction. And here's what he's saying. It's masterful. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? So he's making an argument not of like, sometimes we think about sacrifice as like unconditional love, as something you do that is has nothing in it for you. Jesus never makes that argument. Never. Sacrifice is always an investment in the kingdom. Jesus came to sacrifice because there was great reward in doing that. He's calling us to love because there's great benefit in doing that. But how we do it is important. So if you think unconditional love, okay, is without any motive, okay, of benefit. Now here's the thing. So Jesus makes an argument for how you love. And here's the direction part. Look, for even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you expect to receive, here's the expectation now, right? Because when you love and you think it's unconditional, look, you can't. You're going to do a ledger. Even your own children, if you give to your child, there's going to be a debit made and you're going to expect credit back. We're not that good. It just depends on the way you think about this. Well, what is your benefit? How are you getting credit back? Therein lies the how we think about this. Because now let's proceed. So it says, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. So if we, let's say, give to our children, but your child doesn't give back, that's disappointing. Maybe they want to go somewhere else for New Year's Eve. Sound too personal right now. No, I'm just kidding. You're going to be disappointed. By the way, my girls are at a missions conference. That's not this time around. But they did ask, hey, for New Year's Eve, you know, like my friends, you know, are doing some things. And here's the thing. Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, like, again, I have choices in how I think about that. And I could direct my expectations. And that is called freedom. Because I don't have to be afraid. Because God loves me. But love your enemies and do good and lend, what is this? Expecting nothing in return. Now, therein lies, he makes a argument of benefit, and then he says, expect nothing in return. But he goes on. And your reward will be great. Oh my goodness. Game changer. Because your reward doesn't come from those whom you expect from. So continue to show love. even if they don't show the kind of love back to you. Because anybody can show love to those whom will give in like. It's an argument of investment. And you will be, what? Sons of the Most High. He's saying, that just means you're a Christian. Because you can do that. You can forgive, but they didn't apologize back. Okay? Forgive. Make an investment. Forgive. Invite, but they don't invite me. Invite. Here's the thing. When we feel sorry for ourselves, and I am prone to that myself, it's because the direction of that arrow is shifting. But I'm not shifting, because the direction of that arrow is saying, give, forgive, show mercy. Why? Because there's great reward, and God is parenting me. God is parenting me, but I don't want to go. I want to do what I want to do. If you do this expectation properly, we have a compass, and we hold that loose. Where is it pointing? That's what we're doing. But if your expectations are like a spear, right? At some point, you got to step back and say, hey, look, he disappointed me. Okay? Can you show love? Can you show mercy? Can you cover that? Right? Or are you going to cancel? You going to cancel? Here's the reason. For God, he is kind to the ungrateful. God is kind to you. And let's just be honest. We're so ungrateful, aren't we? I could wrap up last year's grace in just a couple of minutes. There's not enough time in this world to count all the graces for this past year. God is making an investment in us, and he is kind. It's the very definition of kind. This is the way. This is the direction. This is where your north is. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Are you merciful? Or are you only merciful people that will pay homage to you? Is your reward from God, or is your reward from people? James 4:13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. I'm going to get this job. I'm going to get that, you know. I'm going to go over here and do this city, and I'm going to do this. And I got my ways. Got a lot of plans. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. What is the point of James? His ways are like a compass, and we're off course often. We just got to point it. And disappointment is letting us know the way. And that's why disappointment is okay. It's okay. It's okay to be disappointed. It's okay not to get that job, go to that school. It's okay not to get the grade you always wanted it's okay. It's okay. God has us. Hope. Hope is, it's like expectation. Really, almost you can use it synonymous. But the clarifying direction is, it's the united love. That means love has a direction, and it's united. And then our direction is subservient. That means, you know, that's why we have a compass. I was pretty good at land navigation when I was in the army, right? When there was night. When the arrow said go this way, I was pretty strict. You know, they say, oh, if you have a, like an obstacle or whatever, you know, you take this many steps, you go this way, you can get around it. I never went around it. Because I always found out when you did that, you missed the mark. Because, you know, you might take 10 steps, but your 10 steps might be not the same 10 steps when you come back on course and stuff. I just read, look, and then I would be knee deep in mud or thorns. And I mean, I'd be like, you know, hell or high water. That was like, to me, that was like the secret to land navigation. You trust the arrow. You trust the arrow. You navigate life by trusting the arrow, the word of God, the word of God. And you can't go wrong. If you trust, if your disappointment is causing you to go, oh, I'm disappointed. I'm going to just do hard. At some point though, and I'm not saying you give up on dreams. That's not what this is about. What this is about is holding all your dreams loosely. And if you feel, if God says this is the direction, all your will, and we'll read that. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, here's the definition. We'll talk about this a little bit later. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace which you stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope is born out of disappointment, folks. Isn't that wonderful? Hope is born out of suffering and enduring suffering, enduring disappointments, not having had the opportunities, having been beaten down in despair and arising from the ashes is hope. Why? Because God poured love into your hearts during those moments. And I would venture to say, folks, you know who they are. They've been down, they've been kicked, they've been broken. All right? But love has been poured in. And they're different. And you're different. You are different. Because when you are down, God doesn't kick. God doesn't condemn. He pours love. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. This is the confidence that I have. If the compass is pointing that way, if whatever I'm disappointed in has nothing to do with that compass pointing that way, it's okay. Here's what I'm saying. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Because you know why? We just go back heading in the direction we need to be heading in. Nothing in this life can and will ever deter you and prevent you from following the will of God and moving in his direction. If there was an amen I wanted from this audience, I would want that. Nothing could separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the will of God. No matter what your past, he's turning all of that, folks, so that you will benefit, so that you will, he doesn't waste an ounce of suffering for those who love him. He doesn't. I've met beautiful, wonderful Christians who have suffered long. And when they finally do become Christians, wow, I love that. I meet them. There's a certain humility, isn't there? A certain kinship. You know, people who have struggled. You know, and you just know, even your parents, you know, if they just, for those who know them have come to faith, there's a tenderness and a humility and a willingness to work, right? And sacrifice. So, Romans 15:20, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on somebody else's foundation, but it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. So what do we do? Right? I was just talking to Luke, you know. You know, he's determined to go to the mission field, to a place where the gospel has not been heard. And what is he saying? He says, look, there's my azimuth. I make it my direction. I make my direction the direction of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. So that whether we are at home or away, we make it our what? Aim. Shoot that compass. Shoot that azimuth. Go where it tells you to go. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And you don't want that. I've been going in all the wrong directions, encountering one disappointment after another. And I promise you, when you watch celebrities age, I'm not talking about just actors and sports figures, everybody ages. You know? And they're holding on, and, you know, and it's just like, oh my gosh. First of all, it's never too late. It's never too late. We just shoot our aim, our azimuth. But when it's all said and done, it matters how you traveled. It matters. Because we all want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Job 13:50, though he slay me, in the pit of your despair and in your suffering, you can all say, I will hope in him. My true north has not changed. Say this to yourself, New Year's Day. Whatever disappointment I encounter this year, though he slay me, though he stop my expectations, and I encounter profound disappointment, I will hope in him. Proverbs 10:28, the hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to evildoers. You will not regret traveling the way of the Lord. Psalm 62:5, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. Not of myself. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. Don't let go of your compass. Don't let go of the word of God. Don't let go of fellowship. Don't. Psalm 33:21, for our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. That is a marvelous prayer. To say, God, you are my only hope. You alone are my true north. Your words are food. Your will. It is my way. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The reason why he is our true north, he has proven to us that he loves us because he gave us his son. And we hope in him because all of his ways are full of his promises, and God never lies. That means all of your disappointments, all your disappointments will be turned to the good of those who love him. So don't step back. Don't be afraid of disappointment. Embrace disappointment, but think rightly about disappointment. Shape your expectation. Make it your aim to live rightly. Make it your aim. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. Thank you. I'm so wired to expect, God, and expect so wrongly. It's like spears in my hands, God, hitting upon a concrete wall. Teach us, O Lord, God, to always point our direction to you and your ways. For you promise, God, you will never forsake us nor leave us. And you are just yes and amen. And you will never disappoint. And in you, God, in you are all life. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.